flowers bring May flowers. What do May flowers bring? Pilgrims. All right, you guys heard that one. What is known as the kissing flower in springtime? Tulips. You got that one too. Why don't you scare a gardener in April? He might wet his plants. Okay, I knew you wouldn't get that one. All right, but watch it. Don't wet your plants. All right. So April 19th. Do you know what happened on this day in history? April 19th. Very important day for us. What's that? You met at church April 19th? Well, that's important. Yep. For you guys, for sure. Oh, for here, for us to. But in 1775, April 19th, 1775, have you ever heard the phrase, the shot heard around the world? Okay, so what we know for the shot heard around the world was the night before, in April 18th, 1775, the British were after John Adams and John Hancock, and they were coming into Connecticut in Lexington, right? And they were coming to get those guys because the British were commissioned to seize them and kill them. And, of course, now the British people, you can't get them even to do anything. But anyhow, then they wanted to destroy America, the American patriots. Anyway, sorry about that with the current British situation. But so in 1770, on April 18th, they were coming into Lexington, and John Adams and John Hancock were in, where were they? They were in, or I'm sorry, Samuel Adams, Reverend Jonas Clark's church. They were at his house. And they asked Reverend Jonas Clark, Reverend Clark, they said, we're coming up for a battle. Will your parishioners, will people within your church defend freedom? And Reverend Clark told the gentleman, Samuel Adams and John Hancock, that he has taught the biblical principles of war to his parishioners, which is don't start it, but defend yourself, defend your family, defend your community, defend your way of life. If the aggressors come in and they start, causing problems, defend yourself. So April 19th, 400 British military men were on the church grounds, and there was 80 church members that were armed, standing there, ready to go to defend themselves. And then the British shot the first shot. And of course, then that was a shot heard around the world that started the American Independence Revolution, right? That's what started it off, with blood. And, of course, that what a lot of people don't know, there was in his church, there was black people and there were white people. And black people and white people, because we get to hear all about the racism today, right? America started right here in the shot heard around the world with a black man and a white man both dying for defending our freedom, right? So you don't hear a lot about that. But that's what happened. And then that same day when these battles happened, there's also the Battle of Northbridge in Concord, which is another important area of study. There's a guy named Samuel Whitmore. Did you ever hear Samuel Whitmore? So Samuel Whitmore was an 80-year-old man. 80-year-old man, okay? And he was a retired soldier. Of course, then in 1775, retirement wasn't sitting there clicking your butt, watching TV or sitting in the comfort of your home. He was probably farming and getting water and taking care of the cattle. And so he was retired. And all this stuff was taking place within Lexington and Concord, and there was 800 British soldiers in Concord. And he went in to get his sword. So he was 80 years old, retired. So he got his sword that he got from the battling the French in, in 1745 that he got his sword. And then he got his pistols, two pistols and a musket that he got from fighting the French in 1763. So here's this 80-year-old man bunkered down behind a stone wall. And as the British were coming in, there was a squad of five men, the British coming in, and he stood up, let one have it with his musket, let another one have it with his pistol, and another one have it with his other pistol, and he killed three British service soldiers. Well, meanwhile, the other two get up to him, 80 years old, and they beat him. They shot him in the face, and then they stabbed him 13 times with his bayonet and keep moving. They hated the Patriots at the time. And he was left for dead. 80 years old. Strong guy, right? Strong man. And I say this because of our freedom as Americans, as we think about our freedoms that we have, that we need to continue to defend. So here's 80-year-old man, Samuel Whitmore, left for dead. 4 hours later, people from the town came in to try to pull up the dead Americans and take them and bury them. And they came across Samuel in a pool of blood, and he was still alive. Shot in the head and beat up and stabbed 13 times with a bayonet. And, you know, bayonets aren't like small. 13 times. The guy's still kicking in a pool of blood. And not just was he in a pool of blood, he was trying to reload his musket, right? So for four hours laying there. So they take him to the doctor. The doctor said, we can't do anything for him. He lost so much blood, he's just going to die. Try to keep him comfortable. And so they took him home, and people gathered around him for him to die. And he lived another 18 years. He made full recovery. And if you go to Concord, there's a marble, plaque in his honor of defending, America, defending the cause of our freedoms. So that's 1775, April 19th. It's a very important day for us as a nation, which we don't hear about a lot, right? We just don't. They're trying to bring a lot of that back, right? They really are. So we need to continue to remember brave men that have, and women, both black, white, Hispanic, all sorts of colored people that have risen up in our country, to defend our freedom. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Lord, help us to, as we open your word, help us to understand your word better. Help us to live a better Christian life every day. Help us to understand your word every day. Help us to apply what you tell us in your word into our life every day. And if we're missing something, just show us, Lord, and help us to live a better life for you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we've been going over faith, and once again, we're in Hebrews 11, and I have to apologize. If you're getting sick of Hebrews 11, it's my fault, because I really wanted to understand faith better, right? That's my whole goal. So with this chapter, it's my favorite chapter, and I've read it a million times, but I just to dig into the chapter. So today we're on Hebrews 11:21. It's called verbal faith, and it kind of coincides with last week. I'm going to read this, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And that kind of goes with the last week, it goes like this. By faith, which is verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. So last week and this week, we're looking at this, a verbal faith. So remember what faith is. Now faith, Hebrews 11:1 defines faith. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. So a lot of times before we got to this, we think of faith as what? Well, you think of Noah. He built this ark and he had the faith to build the ark. And you think of who lifted up kill his son. He was supposed to sacrifice. He's doing all this on faith. And we think about these deeds that do based on their deeds based on faith, don't we? That's what I think of a lot. You think of the people that step out in faith to accomplish some type of deed that God had given them to do, right? Because that's what we, Abraham, move. And what did he do? He picked everything up and he moved. There was an action there that he did with his faith, qualified, that showed his faith, right? That's what I think a lot about when I think of faith. These two verses, and man, it comes down to this is a verbal faith. This is these two verses, specifically one we're looking at today, but they're both Isaac, right? One was Isaac, and now we're at Jacob. There was a, by faith, they gave a blessing. Well, how does that work? Right? That's what I've been kind of dealing with in my mind this whole past week since I started digging into these verses by faith. So by faith, faith defined as now being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So these guys, and remember, Isaac and Jacob and Abraham, they were perfect, right? They never sinned. They had no problems. They were the perfect people, right? No. They were sinners, human beings. Blood ran through their veins just like us. Just like us. Just people. Just people. But yet here we find this verbal faith that they gave this blessing in faith, and not a prayer. And there's, so we have prayers and faith, and we have, you know, we have these deeds and actions in faith. But these guys were giving a blessing in faith. What does that look like? What my thought is, what obviously we're going to look at what they said, but how can we as people, if we're like these guys, just human beings, give a blessing. And by faith, so by faith that they had in their blessing, that it took hold. I mean, obviously, which we know, that the blessing that they gave stemmed from God, that God told Abraham, that God then told Isaac, then God then told Jacob, and Jacob, just like Isaac, gives this blessing to his children by faith. Not just a blessing. Hey, you guys are going to be, you're going to have a bunch of cattle. Your business is going to succeed. You're going to have a great marriage with your wonderful wife, and you're going to have abundance. But how then can faith be applied through a verbal by a simple person? That was my question. That's what I want to know, because I look at it like this. I'm just a man. I'm just a person. You're just a person. But I'm a dad, right? I'm a grandpa now. Holy cow. Bob, right? So, and many of you in here are grandfathers, grandmothers, and dads. So how can we verbally give this blessing, and doesn't even still exist today, right? We look at the Old Testament, what people say, listen to the Old Testament. But if God's the same God as he was at the beginning of time, then can God still do this? Can he? Sure he can. So how can my faith be applied for a blessing through this verbal faith, this verbal blessing to my children, this verbal blessing to my grandchildren, and have them to understand that God's going to do it, to define that faith, being sure of what I hope for and certain what I don't see. I was praying about this, and yesterday, so we went up to my parents yesterday, and I was going over this in the morning. I was praying about it. I was trying to put this stuff together because, you know, digging through all sorts of stuff, digging through all sorts of Hebrew and Greek, and, you know, like I'm just dealing with how is this possible? How does this work? Because it's possible that I want that, right? I want to be able to have that same faith to bless my family, because God tells us many things about faith. And he tells us today, and a lot of times in our churches today, we forget the power of God, right? The Holy Spirit has been given to us. He lives within us, and we have this power of the Spirit, obviously, if it's working in God's will, right? So I'm not trying to pull stuff out that we're like these super powerful people. No, it's all from the majesty and the grace of our holy, holy God, right? That's where it's coming from. But if how does that work? So yesterday we were at my parents because my one son is going to the Coast Guard and he leaves this week. So he goes to boot camp and, you know, we were just seeing him and stuff. At the end, so my father, he's 80-something, 84, 85, you know, and loves the Lord. I've seen him growing up. He loves the Lord, loves his family. And at the end, he's like, hey, Jansen, let me pray for you. And when he said that, I was like, okay. This is beginning. It's like, so I'm watching this take place. So my dad pulls him to the side and he gives this prayer to him. So it wasn't a blessing, but it was a prayer. So now I'm looking at, so what's the difference? And it was a blessing. It was a blessing of protection for him and a blessing of the Lord watching over him and the family as he's gone for a couple months. So this blessing of a protection. So there's this prayer blessing and this prayer faith, but then there's this blessing faith, which, so these verbal faiths are taking place. How does that work? So Jacob, which we know, Jacob, I'm going to read this again before we get started here. So 11:21 says this, by faith, Jacob being sure of what he hoped for and certain what he doesn't see, that's faith. By faith, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. So we know Jacob was a deceiver. To work the deception route to get the blessings, to get the birthright. Like, he was a shrewd guy. But we also know that he struggled because Jacob, remember Jacob when he wrestled with God, right? So Jacob in the wilderness wrestled with God all night, which he found out at the end that it was God. And for this wrestle, like this, like nobody's business, because you remember when he was born, he was holding on his Esau's heel and wouldn't let go. And when he's wrestling with God, he's holding on to God and he won't let go. Stubborn guy, just like a lot of Israelite people now, right? They're stubborn. And we see it in the New Testament where Paul talks about, you stubborn people. Man, he was holding on to God. Think about that. Holding on to God, wouldn't let go. And God touched him. And so he touched his hip. And he limped and he had this limp. So this is Jacob. Jacob with his couple wives. Like, he was deceived into marrying the one wife he didn't want. and he got deceived. So they had these two wives, right? So he was deceived as well. So Jacob was this deceiving, deceitful guy who loved God, who wanted to serve God in the way he best knew how, and had this faith because he saw God, he wrestled with God, and God gave him this promise, the same promise that he heard from his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. And now Jacob has this promise. He knows the promise. He has this faith. He understands the power of God, even though he himself is a sinful man, and he would know it. He even called out to say, please don't have Esau kill me because I deceitfully took his stuff. But now here he is, and he's an old man. And in the faith that he had in God, he applied that faith into his verbal instruction to a verbal blessing to his grandchildren. To his grandchildren. He transformed that process of faith, where in my mind, I'm always thinking of the action. Build something. Go somewhere. Step out into this power of faith that's within us. We have this power of faith within us. So how can we take and do exactly what Jacob did, just and say, I'm passing this blessing in faith onto my grandkids? Genesis, let's look at this. Genesis, this is the blessing. Genesis 32. Genesis 32:20-22. That's where Jacob wrestled with God. And that's where Jacob was holding on. And Jacob was holding on to God, so he got his blessing. So that's where that. But this, we're looking at Genesis 48. 12-20. Then Joseph removed from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. And Joseph took, let's start in, verse 10. Now Israel's eyes were failing. So this is Jacob now, which we also know Jacob's Israel. His name was changed, right? Now Israel's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too. Then Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim and his to the right, towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on the other side, brought him close to them. But Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger, and crossed his arms. He put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. So you remember, because we know that Jacob also, he was the younger that got the birthright and then got the everything. So Jacob, whoop, does the old switcheroo, and Joseph's like, Dad, what are you doing? No, like, this is the, nope, Jacob's switching them around, and switches his hands like this to lay this blessing on his grandkids. Verse, 15. Then he blessed Joseph and said, May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all of my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my father Abraham, Isaac, and may they increase greatly upon the earth. That was the blessing. So these blessings that we see given from a man to his kids and to his grandkids are a blessing of abundance, or a blessing of, oh, we're going to read this out. We see that it's a blessing of praise, congratulations, like an encouragement, a salute. There's even been curses of blessings that's used in scripture, but it's mainly used to increase and to multiply, which we know from God telling Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they were going to increase. Okay, so this is a man now getting blessing in faith. We also see, and we saw it last week, that it just doesn't happen here. But Rebecca, okay, when she was taken to come with Isaac, her family gave her a blessing. That's called, that this blessing was given to her to be this woman to have a great amount of children in abundance. Blessing was passed on from her family. So this blessing, this verbal faith, I'm beginning to understand and see it better, because I'm kind of trying to deal with how this looks, right? Because we know God. We know God created the world. We know God did our salvation through Jesus Christ, that we that he died, that we can be forgiven. I understand all that. Trying to understand. Can move mountains. If faith can pass on a blessing to generations, if faith can do these. Our faith. If faith can do these things, am I given a verbal blessing to my family, to things that I'm involved with, of this faithful blessing? Right? How many times do we do that? We do that to our to our grandkids, we pray for them, right? But is it backed up? This is the key. Is it backed up? If we're just praying, and Christ talks about this, the people that are just banging a gong, gong, like they're just praying, saying these words out into the atmosphere, and they're not backed up on faith, where do they go? What happens? Our prayers, our blessings, our life needs to be so connected with the of us knowing and understanding and being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That has to happen in our life all the time. That's what I'm beginning to see more and more. Even in my prayers, how many times do we, like I with a bunch of kids on Friday night. And we had time of prayer. And at the time of prayer, you know how junior high kids are. I mean, they're shooting spitballs and rubber bands and throwing stuff and sticking lollipops on another kid's forehead. I mean, everything was going on, right? During prayer. And man, that really drives me nuts. But at the same time, they're learning. Kids need to understand and learn the power. Yeah, they don't find it in our society. Just like we talked, you said, Stan, they're not teaching American history today. Well, kids today, unless they're not getting the understanding of scripture, they're not getting an understanding the power of faith. So when they're horsing around during a prayer time, I give instruction, and hopefully as they continue to grow, they respect God's word and who he is more, but it takes time. And they have to learn. They have to understand it. This verbal faith, how should I say? So Isaac and Jacob spoke this blessing of faith. And not did they only speak it, but they applied that power of faith behind it. So what we say, Proverbs, and I'll just call some of these out. Proverbs 18:21 talks about what we speak, and Proverbs 12:18 talks about tongue of the wise bring healing. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the fountain of life, right? And we talked about that, and Scripture talks about it. Ephesians 4:29 talks about speak, cut them down, because that's what easy. Then we talk about, okay, so Matthew, I do want to jump into here. Matthew 12, speaking, Matthew 12, verse 34 through 37. Jesus is saying this. I'm going to start in 33. Make a good tree of its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. Jesus then says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, so what's coming out of the heart, I'm sorry, I lost my place. For out of the flow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Now this is the crux here. But I tell you, so Jesus is now saying, Jesus himself is saying, I tell you this, this is what I'm going to tell you. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. What we say, and didn't learn that, right? What we say, it's kind of like, you know, like when you go on the internet, and if you have Facebook, and it goes back to whenever you started that thing, and some people have never been in existence without their Facebook, and their whole world is on Facebook for everyone to see. Imagine that, 5 million times more powerful, who knows even, that everything we say, everything we say. So now, if everything we say is going to be upon us, everything we say, everything. And you know, I'm sure like husbands and wives, we always glowing of our spouse, don't we? We never be like, what are you doing? Yeah, we're always so nice and kind, right? Always, no. But everything we say is heard. Everything we say is heard, is faith behind that, and these things that we can give into people's lives, especially us as grandparents and parents, if we can give these blessings into kids' lives and not just walk away from it like, hey, I prayed with them, I'm good. No. Back that with the faith that we know of who our God is. Right? Because we have children and we have grandchildren, which we know have walked away from the Lord. Don't stop our faith on their decision. We have this verbal faith that we can apply into our blessings and into our prayers. For our Scripture, I don't know. God hears our what's coming out of our mouth. That's what God hears. Right? Scripture just it. We need to faith. People that know the power, where the power is coming from. We can, that's faith is. Are you for one of your kids? Are you sure you're hoping for it for your kids? Then you need to, and you might say, Jeff, I've been praying for my kid for the last, now faith is being sure of what you hope might not be till they, you might be dead long gone till they come around. I don't know, but God knows, because he hears what's coming out of our mouth. Scripture tells us, and we see it right here in Hebrews. By faith, Jacob gave this blessing. So that's where we need to line up with that. Heavenly Father, help us here, Lord, with our faith. Because we know you are the holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You created the world. You sustain the world. Everything that's going on in this world is designed and allowed by your hand. What comes out of our mouth, you hear. Help us with our faith walk, Lord, that we can be like our father Isaac and our father Jacob, as they pass we see that they pass these blessings by faith into the next generation. Help us to know, Lord, that just wasn't for them, that this can still, your word tells us you're the same today as you ever were. And I think we forget. We've been deceived. We hear the stuff. We hear things that say, well, God doesn't do that anymore. But we know you do, God. You are the true power behind this universe and into this earth and into this world. Help us to know that. Help us to live that. And I pray for that for this church and for people, that we will begin to maybe change how we pray and how we give a blessing to our children and to our grandchildren. Help us to walk in that faith, worthy to be called a faithful person, Lord. I pray for that. In your name I pray. Amen.